Blog Talk Radio.
The thing is that just because we're magic doesn't mean we're not real. We are going to have equal rights and justice in our own country, or we will restructure their functions and ours. A system built to divide and impoverish and destroy us cannot stand if we do.
Black, you can't let it go to the judges. All right, welcome to Stir It Up. I don't know what that's all about. You know, we kind of had a little technical difficulties when we started the program, but we're back. What's going on, Loki?
What's going on, man?
What's going on? You know, I knew that was going to happen as soon as I let the intro come in that I would probably hit the button. So I actually hit the button on the board. That's my bad. All right, so.
Okay,
you know,
I was wondering what was going on there.
What the ringing was? Yeah. It was a technical difficulty on board.
Call.
Why we couldn't why we couldn't get in and let anybody else in. All right. So I opened up the chat for anybody who's in the chat, you listen to Stir It Up. And you know, this is a show where, you know, we are going to mix it up a little bit. There's a couple of things on tap for Stir It Up. So first, you know, this is Kathleen's wanted us to talk about Nate Parker's Birth of a Nation. So we have that on tap.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but first, you know what I wanted to talk about just at the beginning of the show is, I don't know if you saw this, but you remember Keith Olbermann from MSNBC.
Yes.
Keith Olbermann has this 176 shocking things Donald Trump has done this election. And
really,
there's a YouTube out there, and he wrote an article for GQ magazine, and he is tearing them up. And I want to say, that's what mainstream media is missing is Keith Olbermann, because he is going to lay it down. So a part of the quote is, not much left to be said about the mainstream media: CNN, Fox News, ABC, CBS, NBC. New York Times, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, Washington Post, etc. They are completely useless to our country. They show their malice towards our country by their blatant ignorance and insult. That's Keith Olbermann. I have to put, I put it on the board and played it. But Keith Olbermann makes a great point about the fact that those guys are nuts for ignoring Donald Trump. And just like we were talking about earlier, is now everybody wants to act like Donald Trump just turned crazy yesterday. Like, that dude's always been
right.
Crazy. Right. So, yeah. I don't even know where to begin
I think they were like, you know, reluctant to go straight at him. And now, you know, here we are after the fact. He's the candidate for the Republican Party. And now, you know, and better late than never, I guess. I mean,
yeah, but you know what he did to them.
They could continue to say nothing.
Right.
You know.
Oh, it's not going to help him anyway, like no more. He's done. Right. So the Republicans are now worried.
I mean. Right.
Yeah, they're worried
they
should be.
when you know, you should notice every week a new person is coming out saying we're not supporting him. I mean, you know.
Right.
And hats off to the Republicans who said it early. I mean, some of the key Republicans out of Texas came forward and just said, we're not going to support him. We're going to focus on 2020, and we're going to focus on those running for Congress and Senate.
Yeah.
Smart move.
I guess that was at least had some sense. But even them not saying stuff like, I'm going to support whoever the party supports, but I'm not personally backing him, is still kind of playing the fence. So most of those guys who are playing the fence are going to go down. And I think they can see that coming.
Yeah.
A mile away. So
even Speaker Ryan was reluctant to back him. I mean, he came out and spoke during the convention, but you noticed that he didn't say, I back him and I support him.
Oh, well, you missed the press conference 2 days ago, didn't you? where Mike Pence, who's the vice president nominee with under Trump, he met with, I don't even want to talk about him too. He's not making the ticket no better, but he met with Ryan and some of the congressional leadership, and they said that we support the ticket. So they're trying to say like they support Pence, but not really him. Like,
again, sticking with what he said. When this guy spoke through the whole convention, did that whole speech, and never once did he say, I support him. Now, you remember they went to D.C. to meet prior to the convention to try and get him to commit, and he didn't do it then.
Right.
You know, he didn't commit during the whole campaign.
Yep,
so,
and that's pretty
to me, we support the ticket is to say we're supporting our party.
Yeah. So that's the problem is, they're trying to walk that fine line, but I think people are not going to I think they're not going to buy it, because the president would have had a whole better presidency if Congress is cooperative. So we've had, like, the most dysfunctional Congress in the history of the country for the last, I guess, three sessions. Their numbers have been that low. Low productivity of any Congress in the history of Congress. And they're still blaming the Democrats that they're not funding.
With a raise
they're
every year. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
With a nice raise every year.
Right. So, even though they're trying to keep Congress being that they're dysfunctional, like you're trying to keep Congress and you didn't do squat, and now you're like, I need to distance myself from Trump because that's going to sink us. I think their record should have sunk them to begin with.
Right. Your voting record should have sank you.
Right, because you can go look that up online these days. You don't have to wait for somebody to tell you.
Right.
Go look it up. Your voting record sucks.
You got to remember something, though. One thing I say about his supporters and those supporting any of the candidates on the Republican side of the ticket here is, how often do they look at their voting record? They don't look at the voting record. They look for, they look for the TV commercial. You know, I'm going to do this. And
I'm
going to do that. My opponent never did that, and I'm going to help you.
Yeah, but here's where I want to actually kind of talk about the Keith Olbermann statement, because the truth is that you usually get some kind of sense of who these people are by watching the news, and they've been covering for him.
Right.
So since the news hasn't been doing their job, now you're like, oh, I didn't know. It's like, you know why you don't know? Because you think you live in a democracy and these fools are laughing at people. Like, he just had a press tour, an event where the guy punches some guy and then shoves some woman. I think he actually punched some woman with an oxygen. She had tubes in her nose for oxygen. Yeah. So he just got arrested today. They said he turned himself in because the police was looking for him. That was at a Trump rally while Trump was saying, Hillary called you guys degenerates or whatever he called them. And he was making a case from that while that fight was going on in the crowd.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not proving anything. But while that fight was going on, and all he did was, I guess the guy felt like the other guys wasn't in. There was no minorities in there, by the way. But they felt like they were not supporting Trump. So some guy balled his fist up, some middle-aged old white man balled his fist up and hit some other white guy and then hit this white female. And I'm like, okay, so you're not inciting violence?
Well, what did he say at his one rally when the guy punched the black guy? Yeah, you know, punch and kick you, whatever. I'll pay your legal bill. I mean, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't go around spouting that. And that's the other thing. Why hasn't any one of those camps? I think what somebody did on YouTube or Facebook threw the clip on there, and they talk about there's my African American, and they show the black guy getting hit at the rally.
That is always funny every time I hear that. That will never stop being funny to me. Every time I hear it, there's my African American.
You know.
Yeah.
And to play the clip where they're getting punched, where the black guys are getting punched and kicked at the rally, there you go right there. You know,
right.
There's my African American. Yeah, punch him and kick him.
So I have to say this for your African American. If any African Americans go to his rally, they bump their head. And even if you work for a major media outlet, because some of those guys who are reporters were talking about this one female, she said she alerted the police. The police didn't do anything, and it was the media company that she worked for. I don't know if it was CNN or whomever. They had to provide security for her at a Trump rally.
Right, right.
That should tell you something about your crowd. But just like we know from doing campaigns is that, or just kind of knowing this stuff behind the scenes, is that small percentage of ignorance is going to get you a blowout in a regular election season. So
right.
I can't believe that the media keeps saying, oh, he's polling, they're polling close and it looks close. It is not close. Even racist people don't really like that. They're like, you can do that all you want to.
Well, you got to get them false hope, though. I mean, you know.
Oh, it's a horse race.
When you think
remember
about
that, remember
it.
That with,
yeah.
Remember that with Mitt Romney? They were like, oh, we're going to be up all night. And then he said that with John McCain. Oh, yeah, this is going to
right.
be a tight one. 9 o'clock hit,
right,
they were like, it's
right.
over. It was like, oh,
it's over.
So, I mean, soon as it turned 9 o'clock, they were just waiting for it to turn. It was like, okay, we're done. We could stay up all night talking
really
about this.
You
really got to
look. You really got to look at the class. Okay, let's just look at the class of presidential candidates that the Republican Party put forth over the last 12, 16 years. We can even say 20.
Right.
Just look at the candidates that they put up and look at the ones who did win or whose daddy bought the election.
Who daddy bought it, yeah. Yeah.
So when you look
you
have to laugh too.
Right. Right. And so when you look at it, the Republican Party has never embraced having minorities in their party. They just had the minorities who pretty much wanted to be like them, like the people who were assimilating.
Right.
But they never did no outreach.
Right.
So what they're doing on TV, when you hear somebody say, you know, Donald Trump has outreach to the black community and the news ain't checking them on that, you're like, wait a minute. That's not outreach just because you went to Flint, right? Just because you went around where black people may hang out don't mean that you had some outreach. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a racist.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Wait a minute. On that note, before I bash I'm a racist, let me bring in the commish because, you know, she might have to stop me on this one. Hey, Kathleen.
No, I want you to go full throttle on I'm a racist. Just
you want Omarosa
all
in that?
The way in. Go all the way in on Omarosa. You get no objection from me.
Okay,
how
good.
Are you?
How are you?
I'm doing good. I was doing ministry work this evening, so pardon my tardiness.
Hey, that's okay. That we're all tardy. That's good.
That,
you know, it was
that unexpected moment.
It was located
said
that hey,
like,
today
great.
Is Wednesday.
I was like right in the
I said it was low key that said to me, today's Wednesday. I was like, oh.
Today's Wednesday.
I was like, hey, we doing a show?
Oh, no. Yeah, it hit me. It hit me. Oh, by the way, yesterday, Ed Gordon returned to primetime TV. The award winning journalist, Ed Gordon, he was a news anchor. and correspondent for CBS 60 Minutes, 2 BET, Dateline NBC. He is now on Bounce TV. And I actually watched the program. It's like a it's Bounce's first ever news magazine show, and it focused on issues of interest in the black community. So the first episode had featured the mothers of the movement, so Trayvon Martin's mother, Eric Gardner's mother, I think, was on there, or was it his wife? And I mean, it was like six women that were on there, and he had them. The cast of Birth of a Nation had Nate Parker and R&B legend Maxwell. That's how he started off his first show. So it was actually pretty cool. His interview with Maxwell was pretty cool. But Ed Gordon is back on TV, so I have some hope, because I was thinking that since they're whitening up all the other networks, that I need to have somebody with some sense on TV. And I'd rather watch Ed. That's just me. That is my thing.
I don't watch him that often. Different. So.
No, it just started. That just came on. Ed Gordon used to come on back in the days. Ed Gordon, and he had Courtland Malloy on, and I love Ed Gordon as an anchor. And so, once he got off the air, and they act like that there's no. Since Bernard Shaw got off the air on CNN, act like black folks couldn't anchor the news or something. But I'm glad Ed Gordon's back. What did you say, Kathleen? I'm sorry.
I said, okay, I'm going to take off my minister's hat for a minute and say Ed Gordon and Maxwell on the same show is a black woman's dream. Lord have mercy.
Here we put the kids to bed. Because we're not playing
the
any truth Maxwell that, on this show today.
The truth has been told. The truth has been told.
And, you know, and they were funny because as Ed Gordon said that him, said to Maxwell about him being a sex symbol, Maxwell said, he said, I was just kind of withdrawn as a kid. He said, I was average, and I am still average. And he was like, whatever. And he's like, whatever. My mother told me this is Maxwell. He said, my mother told me, when you meet Ed Gordon interviewed him when he first came on for his first record, and his mother was really happy to see Ed Gordon. So they both laughed about that, that his mother, he said, my mother was a young mother when she had me, but she was like, oh, wait a minute, you going on Ed Gordon's show? So they were funny about that. So Kathleen, Gordon to Maxwell, they threw each other both compliments that way.
So, all right now.
Okay, so you'd have been happy to know that they kind of acknowledged to each other, gave the brothers a heads up, gave them a nod. So that was cool.
Well,
was cool.
I'm sorry I missed that show. I hope they are doing some repeats or whatever, because it, you know, it sounds awesome. And
yeah.
I actually think I want to make a plug. I think it's time that Stir It Up went on the air. I know we've only been on the radio a couple of weeks now, but I think we need a TV program. I've been thinking about that. No, I'm serious. I've been thinking about that since
I have
we
to
started.
Agree.
I think
all right,
so
we need,
too, man. I really think we need to go on the air with this. Seriously.
Cool. We need to do the satellite split screen kind of jammy. We can make that happen.
Yes. Yes, I really do.
Cool,
I think
show.
So. Because, look, it's Jamel and whatever her name is, Jamel and that other guy that does the sports
yes.
show. If they can,
his
you know,
and hers
I think,
and, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
I feel bad that I can't remember his name. It's Jamel and Mike, no, I'm sorry. Can't remember. I'll figure it out. It'll hit me. I actually like him. He's all right. Now,
I do too. I like this show.
Yeah, it's actually a good show. Now, when we started, Kathleen, we started off with Keith Olbermann coming out with this 176 shocking things that Donald Trump has done this election. And I didn't play any of it. It's on YouTube. I'll put it on the board so we can play some of the stuff. But he was saying that mainstream media, Fox, CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, they have all been completely useless for the country because they ignored him, and now they act like everybody's surprised that he's, you know, that blatant ignorance, racism, and all of that other stuff. They ignored it. And so Keith Olbermann goes off on all of that. You know, if Comcast didn't own NBC, you know, Keith Olbermann would still be on there yelling. But I think they're scared because he called them out too. So that article is in GQ magazine. Now, you know, I want to.
I still really like Keith Olbermann. I love that glass thing that he used to break all the time. I really miss him on the air.
You know, I started to put the glass breaking on the board, but that would have been my tribute to Keith Olbermann. Yeah, as we get ready to go off the air.
I love it.
Matter of fact, I might have to do that. That would be my shout out to Keith, because he has really gone to town on some things that, you know, I think that we all needed to talk about. But okay, so have you guys seen this? I know this is going to get might get a little risky, but this is stirred up, so I'm going to let it go. So on the internet, this viral thing with this Atlanta teacher who was posting pictures of her outfits that she wore to school. People were saying that her clothes was too tight and called it club wear. And
yeah,
she is really pretty. It was kind of tight, but I think because she's really curvy too. Like if another teacher wore that, it would just be like one of those slim little dresses. But she got little curves on her. The Atlanta Public Schools said that they released a statement, and they said that she was not a teacher but a paraprofessional who gives guidance regarding the who was given guidance regarding the Atlanta Public School employee dress code. I don't know what a paraprofessional is, but whatever. They said the policy prohibits immodest dress, tight or otherwise revealing. So the tight outfits worn by her is considered breaking policy. And I don't know if you saw that, Loki? Have you seen those?
No, I didn't see that. I heard it this morning, actually. Yeah, I was listening to it this morning.
I heard it, too.
Did you?
Yeah, you know.
Now,
I mean, it's
I've just seen the conforming.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There are things that do push the envelope. I mean, but, you know, I think we get so carried away, and because someone is dressed a certain way, they are something. They are.
Yeah, they were fourth graders.
They're
fourth graders. Like, it ain't. Okay, unlike if it was in high school or middle school.
Let me say this. They're not fourth graders from 30 years ago, though.
Oh, that's
so
true.
So when you take Facebook and Instagram, Snapchat and cable TV and you know the average kid spends how much time in all of that? They're not the average fourth graders. Fourth graders,
right.
You look
so
back at, you know.
Yeah, I guess so. My thought should be that they won't be shocked. We would have not done any work, but that's just my thing. I'm just saying.
Right,
so
right.
She was not showing cleavage, or she wasn't. It wasn't like a short skirt. So even when I think about it, I'm thinking, well, she was covered. So technically, I can't really say nothing to her about it.
Hmm.
I don't know, Kathleen. You want to correct us on this, or correct me on that? Is that a big? That's not a big deal, right? Just because it's form fitting. It didn't look like a sweater dress. It wasn't like that. Go ahead. Go ahead, Kathleen. Go ahead. I'm with you.
Okay, so while I'm talking, I'm going to go to the internet and pull up the videotape.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go to the Grio, and you'll find it there.
Okay.
Where?
So one of the things that I was noticing was that
Grio.
You know, and I really have not paid that much attention to this prior to right now, because this story was on every single radio program that I listened to today, except of course for NPR and 1010 West. It wasn't on there, but I thought about it and I said, okay. Why is this? What the heck? the comments about the dress and what she has on and how she looks and all sort of kind of stuff. is, you know, the fact that it went viral and everything else is a really kind of, I don't know, it just feels like a very male thing, you know? And all the comments
right.
about her dress.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, what they, you know, no offense, but what we would have done as fourth graders and all. So, you know, I get it, but, you know, it feels very objectifying. And I just have a little bit of an issue with that in itself. I think, you know, as it pops up, it's a sweater dress, and of course, I guess it must be really outrageous because my computer froze.
It's not. I mean, that's just as guys, us making light of it. I think it's more women that were having a problem with that. I don't think it was the guys because, you know, when something goes viral, it's just because she's pretty. She's kind of model pretty to people. So folks were just commenting on, that Twitter handle, like Teacher Bay or something. Like they were like doing stuff like that, like how pretty she was. And then even on the Griot, you can go on there, or I think it was Griot or one of the other sites, and they were like, pretty teachers or something, top 10, whatever. You know, that stuff just goes viral. Those girls are young. So if you're 26 and you're teaching at elementary school, you know, and you do a selfie, you know, my old college roommate, you know, he posts pictures of him and his students all the time, kind of thing, like, hey, I got my new class and blah, blah, blah. And he does that. She just happens to be, they're objectifying her. And so you're right. We're making jokes as guys because it is just nothing comfortable about us sitting there talking about the fact that what she should or should not be wearing. And, I mean, if it's not revealing and it's not inappropriate, then we can't really say anything. I mean, so the only thing we can do as guys is kind of be petty about it because low-key and I, again, we had a teacher. I don't want to bring this up again, but we had a teacher. Was that 10th grade? We had a teacher that must have just been out of college. I mean, just out of college. She's really pretty. She comes in our homeroom or English class or something, and I know she was uncomfortable with some 10th grade high school boys, and she was literally, you can't wear like sheer tops and stuff to little boys that age. That just ain't really. And I think she stayed maybe 2 weeks before she went to her elementary school, but she did not work out. Now, of course, Loki and I were gentlemen.
She didn't work out.
Loki and I were gentlemen, but hey, we couldn't save her. We just couldn't.
I like how Commission's just laughing like
I know she's laughing. And I'm not even cleaning this up. That's not me saying, hey, just to save face. We did not actually do anything, but we can name names, but we're not going to do that. Peace out to my people.
Yeah, we're not.
we're not going to shout them out. But here's what happened, Kathleen. I can tell you when she decided to leave.
She left the school, though.
She did leave the school. She did. After that, we got a really old lady who just was not nice at all. Like, it was like that was punishment for real. Let me tell you, she said on the first day of class, you know, when they say write your name on these index cards and pass them up to the front, someone, a male in our class that we won't name, a friend of ours, we can at least claim him, and said, did we get your name and number too? And she said, never mind, I'll get it from the office. That is where it all went wrong for her. Something just as innocent as writing your name and number on a paper. All right.
Yep.
No.
She was such a nice teacher.
She sure was. I'm going to be deleting this part of the show after we're off. It will be edited in archives.
You know, I'm not making any comments. So.
I know you're not. So I can't transition on. I don't know why. Okay. So back to the teacher in Georgia. So here's the thing about them. As I read that story about the Atlanta public schools getting involved in this, on Tuesday morning, three children were walking to school when three people dressed like clowns appeared out of the woods near their home.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in Georgia. Now, they were wearing face paint and shining lasers on these kids. And then some kids, I don't know why they have Facebook anyway, but they received messages with clowns in their profile saying that I will find you. Like, they're tormenting kids. Now, if Atlanta School District want to do something, they need to do something about that. And luckily, because I'm really leaning towards this part, I don't condone violence, but I'm going to tell you, I won't be upset. You jump out with somebody with a clown mask on and get beat down. I don't know when this became a trend in this country, but it started in South Carolina, and now they're doing that in Georgia. You know, and some woman on Saturday. I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Story, I saw that. The clown people.
What'd you say? The clown people.
When I was looking up the Atlanta teacher story, I see the clown people. But just for the record, before we go to the clowns, where the teacher went wrong is I'm on the Black America website now. I've gone to a couple of different sites. But where she went wrong is when she did that red carpet over my shoulder, pointing my rear end towards the camera picture. When I'm just showing you the rear view, you know how they do on the red carpet, the women turn back. I never could figure that out. Men don't ever turn around backwards and look over their shoulder. You know,
that'd be gay.
Right.
That'd be gay. Guys,
wrong.
But it'd be gay. I'm sorry. I had to go there.
She has one of those pictures, and I think that kind of kicked it off just all in the wrong direction.
But I think that's her social media, right? So, yeah, it probably shouldn't be public, but that's not harming the kids. I'm just saying that's not harming the kids, right?
Oh,
when the librarian turned around to walk away to get your book, and then you say, hey, she's showing her butt. It's just a picture of her. You know what I mean? Like, it was a red carpet-ish style thing, but fine. All I'm saying is her outfit is not the problem. She got curves, and so that might be the problem. They want her to dress like a librarian, or I don't know how librarians dress these days. I shouldn't say that. That might be wrong, too. I don't know. She's not going to be a nun, people.
One for the books.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that if she was like, posing like she was at the club, that might be a little bit different. A runway model or, like you're going to the Grammys or something. I don't know. I don't know. That's not my call. That's gossip, so I don't really handle the area. That ain't my area. Did Commish leave us? No. Commish is like, I don't like it. Just don't like it.
Oh.
All right, fine.
Where'd you go, Commish?
She's still looking at that picture. She's like, what the heck is on her mind?
I don't know.
I'm trying to look for it myself. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, yep. Mm-hmm. You can check the Griot, Boss Up. I think everybody has that on there. Media Takeout, The Root, any of those sites probably have it on there now. Because it's for some reason a big story. And like Kathleen said, I didn't understand why everybody is making a big deal out of it. But when I saw it, and then I saw the clown story right next to it, I kept thinking, if that is going on in Georgia and they're not concerned about kids being tormented by people in clown like makeup and worried about her.
Mm-hmm.
But early Saturday, a woman was followed by two people dressed as clowns while they were driving a pickup truck, after she was at the gas station, and they followed her, and she went to, like, a cousin's house who was close, and she stayed there until she thought it was safe. Now, I'm thinking, well, y'all can think this is funny if you want to, but, they need to crack down on that. I don't know why people would think that would be funny.
Not funny at all.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, whether it's a clown or any kind of mask, if you're doing that and you're following somebody, they can feel threatened. So it just seems strange. All right. So did you find a story yet, Loki?
Yeah. That I'm
okay,
sorry.
Never mind.
No.
He was quiet. He was
Yeah,
about it. Yeah. Yeah. See, that's why Kathleen was quiet when we were calling her. She was like, I'm trying to wrap my head around this right now.
I am.
You know.
Yeah. Never mind. Let's not get in trouble, Loki. We will save that for your final comments. Loki's like,
I'm gonna save this one.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. Also, this week, you know, Lil Wayne came out and said there's no such thing as racism. I wanted to talk about that because he denied the existence of racism and argued that white people who attend his concerts are living proof that it's a thing of the past. And he said, I just don't want to be bashed because I don't want to sound like I'm on the wrong if there is a side, but I thought it was clearly a message that there was no such thing as racism. I don't know what that means. It sounds way too fragmented for me. I didn't process it. But he said that he never experienced racism. He said, I've never dealt with racism, and I'm glad I didn't have to. I don't know if it's because of my blessings, but it's my reality. He said his blessings as an entertainer, by the way. And he said he thought it was
that's
over.
That's a contradiction, though. That's a contradiction. How do you – I've never dealt with racism, but it's over. So wait, because you've never dealt with it, it's now over?
It's over.
I mean, is that before the cough syrup or after? I'm sorry.
Exactly. And I wanted to say this. If he wasn't such a caricature, like, I'm sure Dennis Rodman felt the same way because they're not a threat to anybody when you're a caricature. So he said that, you know, although it was over, and I still believe it's over, but obviously it isn't, is what he said. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? But he said that, yeah, he said that his politics, he's not into politics, his politics, his flag, and his nation, all that matters to him is his four children. And I'm like, your four children are black, so if you don't deal with it now, and just like Stacey Dash, you're always welcome home. But right now, I am saying to you, while you're in denial, just like Cosby in that pound cake speech, you will come home at some point, buddy. And so Lil Wayne will come home.
He don't need to come home. Put some spec on it. That's all.
You said he don't need to come home.
He don't need to come home. Just put some spec on it when you say his name.
I know. All right, Commiss, you have to bring some sense to us. What do you think about Lil Wayne's statement?
I don't think it would be. I don't think it'd be good for business if I comment on anything that.
We won't get syndicated. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
What's that deal? All right.
Can't be good if I say anything. It definitely, I would not be in my highest if I were to respond right now. Give me a minute.
I mean, you know, again, it's Lil Wayne. I mean,
how can we take anything coming out of him serious?
Well, that's the point. I mean,
I think you should stick to pouring champagne on cell phones.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean.
Exactly. And so, you know what? I want to apologize for doing that story because here's the thing. I realized that I can't remember who said this, but they were saying in the white community, in the Jewish community, they don't ask Seinfeld what he thinks about Jewish statements. So we shouldn't be going to Lil Wayne to find out what racism is. Like, none of those guys
should be
the authority on any of this stuff.
And if anybody
out
there is believing anything that's coming out of his mouth, they're voting for Donald Trump already.
I mean, and even if they do, again, Harriet Tubman still had to cut some people loose. So you can't free everybody. Not unless they want to be free.
Right.
So, right. And also, but, also somebody else. Go ahead, Kathleen.
I do have a question. Like, why do we even know what he says about racism? Did some reporter ask him that question? Because,
yes.
You know, right. So the only reason that I think, and I know the reporter had to be white, because a black reporter would not be asking him that foolishness unless it was already out there trying to keep up with the white news shows or white TMZ or whatever foolishness. I don't even know if it's TMZ. They wouldn't even ask something like that. But only a white reporter would ask him something like that. And I think white reporters, when they ask questions like that of people, I think they're looking for the most ignorant of ignorant people to respond to that so that it boosts their rating. So they know the person, okay, let's get somebody who's totally not conscious so that we can support the white opinion of the black experience. So we'll get somebody who will say that there is no racism because that totally benefits us. And then even though it pisses black people off, so what? We have the opposite of Black Lives Matter. That's all we really need. So we can kick that off, right? And then the only reason that Roland Martin would talk to him about that, if he would talk to Roland Martin about that, would be to then tear him apart for the stupidness that he said to some white media outlet about the fact that there is no racism, like what they had to do with Wendy Williams when she said, I don't know why they have black colleges.
Right. So that she can come back and apologize later and say, I didn't know. When her parents went to HBCUs, right?
Yeah, but nobody reported that. They didn't report. They didn't report the retraction. They didn't report the story with Roland Martin going on her show and teaching her about the significance of black colleges. They left it at her comments about that there is
her
no
ignorant
need
comments.
For a black college.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, but
it's sort of like Kanye's comment of "I'm going to run for president," you know.
And people ran with that as a news story.
That. Right, you know. I mean, so it just goes to show you, it's exactly right.
It reminds me of the fact that people think that black people are just like one group. Like anybody black I know would vote for Kanye. That is hilarious. Like, oh yeah, he got the black vote. He's black. I don't think so.
I mean, Sharpton got a couple of votes, but he didn't get the Barack Obama black vote. Come on now.
Right. That's almost like saying, "Run, Jesse, you can win." Technical difficulties.
Nope.
What's going on there?
I don't know. I think Jerome leaves at this point every time in the show. What happened?
What did I miss? What did I miss? I can't even step away and drink water. What happened? What did I do?
No,
I was trying not to let you guys hear me drink water, so I actually put the phone, stepped away from the mic. My bad. Okay, what happened?
No, we said every time a controversial conversation comes up, you disappear. You kick it off.
And let me tell you why that is.
Loki and I wait a minute, what happened to Rome? He just left us hanging out here. Okay.
So technically, I'm not abandoning you. I got you. I'm not like the panicky guy. Loki knows what I mean by that. When something goes down, the guy runs away. It's not that kind of party. But just like in Jesse's case, remember everybody was like, "Jesse gonna win. Jesse ain't do jack."
Run,
when it came to vote. They're like, "Oh my God, run, Jesse." We see how this is going down.
Nope.
It's like he got three votes. Like, okay, everybody who was encouraging him to run didn't even vote.
Yo, But what was worse was his response. Oh, that's how y'all see y'all gonna treat me like that. And when Obama run, y'all gonna vote for him. But ain't nobody vote
right.
For
right. And so it's just like people who take credit too. Like they're like, Obama won because I voted. It's like, no, he won by a lot. Like you won more. He won by a ton. I mean,
oh,
it's
man.
Great that we all supported, but that guy was on the path of that ship has left the dock a while ago.
Right.
Yeah. Now, Kathleen, I was holding off on this because I knew you wanted to talk about Nate Parker and Birth of a Nation. Now,
yes.
He was on Ed Gordon's show, did a great interview. Birth of a Nation comes out on October 7th, and, of course, it's the story, the Nat Turner story. It is the slave rebellion of 1831. If you don't know what the Nat Turner story is. And I've seen some of the reviews on it. I didn't see the movie yet, and I'll try to get us some early press review credentials on it. But it's put out by the studio is Fox Searchlight. And on Ed Gordon's show, Nate Parker talks about this and said that they went in a bidding war on who wanted to release this film. And Ed asked them, you know, it's hard. He said it's hard for studios to put out shows that are predominantly black cast. And Nate Parker said it's not hard for them to put them out. They won't pay for them. But if they're already paid for, he said, I did things like ask my grandmother for money. Like they financed that movie, and then the studios bought in, and then they finished it up. So that's why he got so much for the movie. But that movie is directly from his perspective, and he said that he picked a new movie studio that was going to let him do a classroom curriculum. So when this movie comes out, not only does the movie is going to be powerful, but they put together a study guide, like a curriculum, to know Nat Turner's story. Now, I say all this before I say the controversy is that a rape trial that happened in 1999 that 17 years ago, Nate Parker was acquitted, mm-hmm. and the guy who was his friend who has writing credits on this movie, his conviction was overturned, and they never retried him. So they think since the early Oscar buzz and people seeing how powerful the movie is, that they're trying to bring it up like he was convicted of something, which is problematic. So, you know, just because Birth of a Nation is one of those films that Hollywood or major studios are going to try to beat down so that their film can get more light, I think is why he's taking all of this heat. So Nate Parker was acquitted in 2001, and the other guy was found guilty with a sentence to 6 months. And then the verdict was appealed, a new trial was granted, and it never made it to court because the woman decided not to testify. So that guy never went to jail who was sentenced to 6 months. But Nate Parker was acquitted. They said that there was no cause for Nate Parker. So anyway, so he has to go through this just because this powerful movie is coming out.
Mm.
So I'm done with that, Kathleen. I know you wanted to talk about this. So he was found innocent and cleared too. By the way, found innocent and cleared of all charges in 2001. Okay.
Right, so we have a situation again where it doesn't matter what a jury decides if it's a black person.
Right.
He tried, acquitted, and still found guilty in the public sphere. Now, the interesting thing about this is that I think this was another one of those cases where they're trying to decide whether or not it was there was consent. I don't know that there was the dispute as to whether or not there was an act between the two parties, but whether or not there was consent. But he was tried, like you said, acquitted,
found
and clear,
innocent.
As you said.
Yeah.
Acquitted, found innocent, cleared, all of that, no jail time, no nothing, no settlement. It wasn't
right.
Like it was a settlement, and the person was paid off. And so
right.
the thing is that all the people that I talked to said, okay, now, for him to be a black guy and be acquitted and cleared is monumental enough. Because if there was anything that was possibly
close.
Held against him,
yeah.
He would not have been cleared. Then a lot of other
right.
people, you know,
right.
public who were feeling that he did not deserve to be acquitted or whatever, said it was the power of the pen, you know, the mighty pen, got him off because he was an athlete, I think a wrestler at Penn State. So all these other arguments and so forth, like you said,
well,
here they come after 17 years. To
right.
deal with,
right.
you know, to try and shut down one of the most important movies of the century, actually.
Yes.
Particular, you know, black
right.
movies of the century. Now, I don't know, has he done a different kind of film? If the same backlash would be popping up? I just don't know. But I am going to tell you one thing. There's no way I'm going to sit over here and try to decide whether or not this guy did whatever he did to the woman. Oh, here was the other thing that they said about it. They said that when it was found out that the woman committed suicide, that she had been harassed on campus and all these things. So they're trying to say that his behavior post the incident and his response after the unfortunate death of this woman was inappropriate, so that's why people hate him. And again, none of it would be sufficient enough for me to say he doesn't deserve to have a career, make films, and do this and do that and the other. So we look at Nate Parker on one hand, but then we look at how Woody Allen's films never failed.
Nope.
How there was
right.
I don't remember any major protests against Woody Allen for things that we know he did. We know
right.
he did. You know, there was
right.
no question
but,
about whether or not Woody Allen did this outrageous. Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's his name? Charlie Sheen.
And so, here we go, you
yeah.
know, Mel Gibson, who, you know, we could
yeah.
go on and on and on down the line and say, you know, what on earth is it that a black person has to do in this country? Sometimes you're like, okay, do we still have to hire white people to put our stuff out there for us so that we could get some stuff kicked off? Like, it really is unfortunate. It really is unfortunate.
But
so if you were,
I like the comment where, you know, the one thing I'm reading here says there is no right answer, but there's an appropriate response to the 1999 charges of sexual assault against filmmaker art actor Nate Parker and the separation of art and artist. There's the issue right there. Separate the art from the artist.
Exactly.
Well, one can
you know,
of anything.
And well, that's the point. But still, whether convicted or not, he's a black man, so he doesn't
right,
get he doesn't
true.
Get the same treatment. What we're saying with Woody Allen, when you could separate the art and the artist, and they didn't even do that with Woody. It was just like, hey, that's Woody Allen. I mean,
right,
you know,
that's what he did.
But the other thing
that's
here, the other thing here, and it is expected. And when you look
right.
at the Toronto International Film Festival saying. Parker fumbled when he first began speaking publicly following two screenings of his film. He spent the better part of an hour deflecting questions about the incident instead of about the film. You know,
right, but here's the thing.
It's ridiculous.
Right. So he was in Beyond the Lights, Red Tails, The Secret Life of Bees, The Great Debaters. None of them ain't nobody ever bring
right.
that up. None of them. But when he puts out Birth of a Nation, now they want to bring up Suspicion and Clouds over him. He was still innocent and all
during,
that stuff prior to that. And I'm saying
Right.
And I'm just saying that their whole thing is having him answer questions on that now. And I know she passed, I think, 2005 or something. Well, I don't know when she passed, actually. But the problem is that a right answer to rape is like answering in the political world we always use, never answer the question, do you beat your wife? There's no right answer to that. Because if you say, no, I didn't beat my wife, you said, beat my wife. So they'll say, well, we don't know if he's true. The way he said it, I don't know if I would have said it that way. You can't answer that question. So there are some questions that you can't answer, and you can't answer no question about rape under no circumstances, whether you did, didn't, wasn't there, never saw her, don't know her, whatever, because you are under suspicion as soon as you answer that question. Never answer it.
But you,
so
you know what's
even
interesting.
He wasn't disciplined not to do
it. This,
what?
Right. But, well, the fact that, like Kamish said, listen, had this been anyone else, a white director, you never see them go after his past, his history, to debunk the movie. You never see that. But here comes
right.
Nate Parker, and this is the wording. The wording is what's important here. When it says, just as Parker was hailed as the odds on favorite to sweep next year's Oscars, he's the director and co-writer of the film, the 17-year-old alleged attack was unearthed. See, there it is right there. I got to dig to get something. So
right.
it's more like, and it's crazy. It's by the press this summer, Parker then took Facebook to writing that the one thing he said was, I look back on the time as a teenager and can say without hesitation that I should have used more wisdom. But what gets me is when you say the word unearthed, you know, and then they're
right.
saying
like
the American
they didn't
Film
know.
Institute is saying, right, right. So now the American Film Institute is saying that they canceled the screening and that the Motion Picture Academy members, they're saying they may not even see the film and they may not vote on it at all. Here we go again.
Right.
Again. You
right.
know. And it's ridiculous. You
yeah.
It's ridiculous that okay, let's just back up. Quentin Tarantino can say in his movies for how many times? Yeah,
right.
Nobody's
80 times
in
a movie, right?
50 million. 50-11
right.
million times.
Right, 50-11 times.
50-11 times.
And nobody's
yeah.
digging to find anything, right? He brings Django to the screen, and nobody is digging to find anything. Nate brings this movie to the screen from this perspective, and they've got to unearth a 17-year-old story about him to discredit not only him but the movie. That's
right.
ridiculous.
Right, and you know, he received a standing ovation at Sundance at the film festival.
Right.
And people are still going at him, so this American Film Institute canceled it because of the resurfacing allegations. No, they ain't allegations no more because he was cleared of all charges. And to Fox Searchlight's credit, they released a statement because they were trying to pressure the movie company. And they said that they're aware of the incident and stated that Parker was found innocent and cleared of all charges, quote, end quote. That was it for the movie distributor. He's found innocent and cleared of all charges. So why are we relitigating something that he was found innocent and cleared on? So that just says to me, again, it's like the whole Michael Vick saga, right? People are raping unconscious women, getting, we don't want to ruin their lives, and then you get some guy who cousins fought some dogs that was on his property, but you give him some time in jail for that. He wasn't fighting them.
Right.
You know what I mean? We could just be near somebody
right.
who does something, and we'll go to jail. So, for Nate Parker on that, yeah, it's an old story. It's an old story for us. We know where that comes from.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing about him is that, you know, I thank you for reading that list of movies that he was in, too, because, first of all, he rocked in The Debaters. What?
Did he in The Great?
Oh, my gosh. He really did. He really rocked in The Debaters. He's a great. It was a great role for him. He did a great job. But I think he's one of those actors. He's one of those actors that people really, black actors, I think that people really love to hate. You know?
Oh, really?
Not one of the guys that I don't know very much about him, but just his tonality and his confidence, and, you know, I really don't give a rat behind what you think, you know, that kind of thing. He's mm-hmm. so people are like, what? He's not sucking up?
Right.
What?
Right.
Let's really let this guy have it.
Well, they're saying that he passed on a major opportunity to really say something appropriate about his past. And that a lot of the people
What's
from
that
the
mean?
Film festival a lot of the people who stood for him at the screenings, who gave him a standing ovation, they said it's an amazing movie, but by cutting short and basically every paper could write that he dodged an opportunity to talk about it or to say something. And what I get what they're saying. They're saying this was a stage for him to be able to say, listen, as a teen, this, that, whatever, and this is the outcome of it. Now deal with that. Now let's move on to the movie.
Right.
That's what they're saying.
Oh, they're saying
he could have closed that, and that's what they're saying. I mean, and I kind of agree with that. There was an opportunity right there on a major stage in front of a lot of directors, producers, and all the movie people to say what he needed to really say. And that's what they're saying, that by not answering that at that time after the screening, because they said they basically purposely separated it from the movie. And they said, we're going to do a screening off-site with him and the cast.
Yeah, I think that there's something that after 17 years, you're just not prepared. I mean, I think they probably caught him off guard, because I think during that time when they said that the woman died, he didn't know she died. So when they said that to him, they asked him that question on stage. And I'm thinking, okay. You know, I understand that he's not prepared, but there is no right answer. So it is very tough when he didn't prepare. Maybe when he did The Great Debaters, or maybe when he did Nonstop, or maybe he did one of those other movies, he probably was prepared to say, hey, if somebody asks me this, I need to be able to handle this. So that man has done about 7 or 8 movies, but the only time they're going to ask him is when he comes out with this one. So, I mean, I know what that's all about, but I'm just saying, like, he probably was just caught off guard. And like he's saying, I probably didn't answer the right way. But if you go through 8 movies, and he took 2 years off from acting, he said, I didn't have any more income coming in. I had to use all of my money, and then I had to start asking family for money even to make this movie. Took 2 years off. And he put everything that he had into this just to make it happen. And now people are coming back, you know, asking him old stuff like he's some new cat. The dude's been working. So, you know, I, again, don't really even like having a conversation right now, because it seems like it has some legs to it. But for me, I don't think you could ever put it to bed just because of the way we do media in this country and the way we treat stuff. Like I said, we talked about the political stuff, like I said earlier with Donald Trump, is that he has no policies on anything. He does not even have a platform. He has, like, the weakest platform of anybody who probably ran for president. You go on his website, he don't tell you what he's going to do. He's like, yeah, I'm just going to bring together really smart people, and I'll make decisions on the fly. Like, he has no platform. So anybody backing him says, well, what is he going to do? They can't point to nothing. I'm going to build a wall. Well, that can't be your answer. You know what I mean? So we have low attention span media, and the media just does sensational stuff.
Right.
So for Nate Parker, I feel some kind of way about that because, he's young too, so you got to expect him to make his mistakes in answering questions. But he probably was caught completely off guard after 17 years of saying, oh, I might have to answer this. Oh, I might have to answer this. And then somebody comes back.
That's the whole thing about being a black man in this country. When are we caught off guard by anything that's asked of us?
Yeah, that's true.
This is the life we live. I can do 90 things correct at work, but I'll hear about 10. You understand?
Yeah.
This is the world in which we live in. So yeah. You're not getting caught off guard. I mean, you just have to prepare to deal. You know, one thing about, I'll say, being a spiritual person is you know that, listen, things will come. You deal with them as they may, and you move on.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't hide from it. You can't be afraid of it. You deal with it.
Yeah.
You know?
I
don't know, man.
I think he did answer the question. You know, just because people don't like the way he answered the question doesn't mean he didn't answer the question.
That's true.
And the fact, you know, I know they're saying that, okay, he had a stage, he had an opportunity, he had this. Look, the dude's an actor. Nobody said he was a philosopher or brilliant mind or this. You know, he's an actor and producer, and I'm not saying that the two have to be exclusive, mutually exclusive. But how do we know that he had the words that were going to actually put it to bed? You know, he might have said something that to him was really brilliant compared to what he wanted to say. You know what I mean?
How many times somebody asks a question, you're like, okay, you know what? I better not say what I want to say right now.
So I'm going to say this and hope that, you know, considering what I want to say, what I just said was brilliant. We just need to leave it there. Move on.
Oh, man.
I would love to go into politics, but there's some things I just don't want to answer. You understand?
I'm going to take a zero on that last question.
We know that taking a stage, taking the stage means that you were going to answer the difficult questions. And you best be prepared as much as you can to answer that question. And you know it's going to come. And I like what they said here, though. It's like the press event that said that he'll be available with the cast, and they'll answer questions later on. He said that he had already addressed the issue, and I definitely don't want to hijack this with my personal life. Parker continued to deflect questions, but later said, healing comes with honest confrontation about our past. Then came perhaps his most provocative remarks. The reality is we've all been traumatized. And so what they were saying was, and these are all the people from the film industry that were there, they said a fair amount of them concluded that Parker had blown a rare opportunity to say the right thing. Yeah, yeah, because you don't get an opportunity to do this, to have a stage to speak this. And that's what they're saying, a rare opportunity, because he may not be in a group of his peers, you know, producers, actors, film people, to say the right, not the right thing, to say the right thing. It says not necessarily to say the right thing, but to say something more appropriate about his personal
circumstances. To be clear, I guess.
And how they relate to his industry. Oh, I can't even get the word out. Industry reaction to the controversy. And so what they're saying is how people in the film business are reacting to it, because that's who's trying to hurt this movie. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? So,
yes.
I think the fact that they're saying that the opportunity is rare is arrogant in itself. Why is this a rare opportunity for him? Movie producers, actors, directors, and all don't get together all the time? Or are you just saying that because he's finally in the room, it's a rare opportunity for him?
Right.
And for him
it's
to
not
rare.
Because he has a stage. It is rare because he's at a film festival where he's supported by a group of people, and they're saying this was an opportunity. This was a rare opportunity to be in this room. I mean, and we should know that based on how many black movies won the Oscars last year.
But my point is that the fact that it's rare is disgusting in itself. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Because it's not rare.
Yes.
It's not rare for white people. So they want to phrase it like that because they are already telling us and telling him, you don't get a whole lot of opportunity to stand up here in front of everybody, and guess what we're going to talk to you about when you do? Something
right.
17 years old. What the heck were they bringing that up for? They made it rare. They created
right.
that situation and then wanted to try to drown him in it, and then when he drowns, then like, oh, you know what, look at that. He messed up this rare opportunity.
It wasn't the media that said that. It wasn't the media that said that. These were the people who were supporting him. These were the people who These were the people who stood up and applauded him, applauded the movie, and said it's a great movie, and that other stuff is really irrelevant. But if you must answer it, this is a great opportunity to respond to it or take the stage and say what you need to say.
Yeah, Gabrielle Union was in the movie, and she mentioned because of her being sexually abused or something like that, that she said that she read all 700 pages of the trial or whatever the transcript was, and she can't make a judgment on it one way or another, but she said she has mixed emotions and that she you won't know unless you were in the room to know exactly what happened, which I think is going way overboard because he was found innocent and cleared for her to relitigate what was already done in court. But nevertheless, that was her statement. But director Ava DuVernay came out and said she also said that she was an abuse victim. She said the movie is way too important for anyone to take his personal life in an account to watching this movie. And she's saying that she wants everybody to see it. And that's where it kind of got off track because people, it's doing what it's supposed to do. It's almost like the whole Cosby thing with his stuff when he was trying to buy NBC, right? So once you start in the middle of a path, you know, somebody comes up and, hey, you know what happened like 30 years ago? So they're trying to do that to him. It worked so well with Cosby. I guess people are trying to encourage the woman who that happened to say, hey, maybe the parents should sue and maybe we should look into this any deeper. You can't. He was cleared. He was charged. He was innocent of charges, and he was cleared. We still are in the frame of mind that you can bring up somebody's past and just take them to task, where, again, in European culture – we watch all of these sick people like Rob Lowe say stuff like, you know, you should stand up for the national anthem. That's more patriotic. It's like, yeah, wasn't patriotic when you was with them little girls, but we didn't say that. Like we don't throw stones at people like that. You know what I mean? So it's funny that even the worst of their folks can come out and scrutinize us over something like police killings. Like, we know that there is a problem with black folks being killed by police. But at the same time, white folks at over 70% of police killings are by white folks. But I don't think I ever hear them say, we got to watch ourselves from white people killing police. you know, on the rare occasion, the 5% of black folks that are caught in that situation, it's like, oh, my gosh, they're a hate group. But more than over 70% of the
right.
people killed by that kill police are white. It's funny
and
how we just can get labeled with it.
Not according to Brandon, but anyway.
That was the point.
There was something else that you mentioned that I wanted to make a comment on, but I've forgotten now.
All right, so go ahead.
No, I forgot.
Yeah, it's just disgusting to me that they really think that we forget all the deeds that they do, but we have to have a conversation about something that happened when people are 10 years old. Like, so to go back and say, hey, you know, when you were in high school, you know, you felt some girl's butt, and you'd be like, no, I bumped into her, or she walked into, and it's like, no, that's not what she said. Like, to litigate something like that from so long ago, that didn't happen to me, by the way. I felt girls' butt, but that was not a problem. No, I'm just joking. I know. Watch me go to the phone lines and be like, it was me.
Can I flag on you? I know, yeah, you can.
I didn't put it on the board, but good Lord. I have no, I'm not going to say nothing. That's it. I'm done. As soon as you say you didn't do something, somebody comes out and be like, well, that was that time. That's how we used to dance back in the days. I don't know what to tell you. It was, never mind. Did you throw your flag on that bitch? Because I probably need to stop. All right.
Yeah, flag on that play. I do remember what I wanted to say now, though. And
go ahead.
This situation with this gentleman was 17 years ago. And again, he was cleared and acquitted by a jury.
No, found innocent. He wasn't acquitted.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, cleared.
Yes.
He was cleared, found innocent. And then here we are with Brian Lochte.
Yeah,
on Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars, and not even 15 minutes after he did on the videotape playback, the videotape lied about whether or not he was robbed at gunpoint, embarrassed the entire United States while in Brazil, and said he was robbed by goons or whatever, and in actuality he had vandalized the people. Anyway. So turn around.
He said the police did it too.
Later. Huh?
Uh-huh. And he said the police is the one that pulled him over. So he blamed the country.
Right.
Tried to start an international incident.
Right.
Yikes.
Right. And then he comes back and they're heralding him. He's on Good Morning America hanging out, partying, and on every talk show, and then here he is on Dancing with the Stars, and I'm like, oh my gosh, too soon. Just too soon.
Yeah.
Well, they were talking about that. They were talking about that this morning, and they were talking about sometimes one of the PR people for Dancing with the Stars, it's a chance for one, you know, a forgiveness and a one chance to do it over. And I'm like, really? Really? How's that work? Because they were talking about the fact that that's what they tried to do with Paula Deen, and it didn't work so well.
See, and
you
that's
know,
why I have to go with Keith Over. That's why I have to go with Keith Overman with this ABC, NBC, CBS. They are all like, I wouldn't say conspirators, but they're all kind of in this, that they like to give redemption to their own people. Because no matter how wrong they know they are, they still try to smooth them out mainstream. It's like smoothing out races. You know, it's like, oh, well, they're not that bad, and they made a mistake, and there's a redemption in that. No, there is no redemption in the fact that you still think like that or you still act like that. You're not correcting behavior. So when he lost his endorsement, somebody else gave him one. And I was like, see, here we go. Right, he loses endorsement. Somebody else was like, "Well, he can't. We don't want him to starve." You know, they haven't sent us to jail for stealing a slice of pizza for like 30 years.
Right.
All right. So I guess this is a part of the show where, you know, I thought I didn't know I was going to go off so long on the Nate Parker stuff, but low-key, is there any stories that happened throughout the week that you want to start up with?
No, I'm going to give it over to Kamish. I mean, I had one thing I was looking at this week. There's two things. One was the new Black Panther Party, and we could talk about that next week. And the second was the Negro. It's called. I'm still trying to I'm still trying to get with it. I had two things because we're talking about the teacher being dressed a certain way. But do you guys remember last year when the teacher wore blackface to school in Alabama?
Yep.
You know,
yep.
They're not talking about that too much, right?
That didn't mess with Alabama's dress code. That was kind of actually
right. Right. So, you know, I mean, you know, we pick and choose.
Yeah.
But I was looking at something and I'm just trying to get back to it, so.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I can do a whole series of, like, teachers, especially with their encounters with students. We could do a whole show on that because there's, like, about 14 stories in front of me of that. You know, two in Tennessee, one in, where's this, Ohio. There's another one in Chicago and another one in, I want to say Maryland, and then there's one in Massachusetts and then Connecticut. That's how many we had just this last news cycle.
Right.
Wow.
You know, but they care about how
so it
just,
it goes on and on. Right.
Yeah.
So then, you know, there's one article I was reading and do you guys remember hearing anything about the Negro Republican Party?
That's what it's called? NPP?
Yeah, 18 back.
You're down with NPP?
Yeah. 1867.
No.
1867. Negro Republican Party. I joke you not.
Oh my God. Okay. I have no words.
Next week.
Next week? Okay, yeah, I was going to say.
Next week.
Next week, because we have to go in on that one. Okay, Kathleen, I'm still laughing about the NPP.
You all already talked about the non-fainting, right?
The what?
The non-fainting of Hillary Clinton.
No, we didn't talk about that at all.
No.
You didn't talk about that?
No.
Well,
why would we?
Talk about politics. I was sure that you talked about that.
No, we just talked about the non-faint. No, give us an update on the non-faint.
Okay, so she was coming out. They said it was a 9/11 event that she was at, and she was on her way back into her car, her SUV, and she took a knee buckle, right? So she's standing a couple of feet, you know, maybe it's not a couple of feet, but like a foot and a half or so away from the curb as she is getting into the car. And from what you can see, like there's some people around her, but you see her knees just go out, you know, and she just starts to buckle. And everybody's close, you know, people are close enough so they catch her. They, you know, put their arms on her or whatever. But after you see the knees buckle, and then they try to help her take another step. But, of course, your knees buckle, you're going down, right?
Right.
So they've taken another step, but they try to go another step, and then she kind of goes all the way down now. She's stepping off the curb, goes all the way down, and then they close ranks. It was pretty good team around her, man. They close ranks. You can't see crap. If they don't get an aerial view of that,
right.
You can't see how far down she went. And they basically, you know, it looked to me like they basically grabbed her legs and got her in the car.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I never lost consciousness. I didn't faint. you know, I just got weak and I was dehydrated, whatever, whatever, whatever. I looked at that. I'm like, listen, the only reason you didn't hit the ground is because you had
people holding
you up. I
don't know,
it's like about 10, 12 people around you to carry you into your car. It's the only reason that she didn't hit the ground. So she said it wasn't a fake.
That's what we're trained to do, though.
That's what we're trained to do.
I've done security for her. Yeah.
Okay.
I've done security for her. That's what you're trained to do.
I
mean, nothing. No. She was good to go on my watch.
Yeah.
I simply say, yeah. Anything sells newspapers.
Yeah. Now, okay. So it was a non-faint faint. It was a faint non-faint, whatever. She said she didn't lose consciousness. Who am I not to believe her? The question that I have, though, with that is that, okay, so everybody loses their minds and says, oh, my God, you had pneumonia on Sunday. Why didn't you tell us on Friday? Why didn't we know you had pneumonia? Now we want your entire medical history. Now we want all of your medical records. We want everybody in the public to see when you had your period and when you went on menopause and when we want the whole history to see whether or not you're fit to serve as president of the United States. And I'm like, okay, you know what? It's way too daggone much. It's just way too much. And I don't know where and when did people in the United States of America feel like they obtained the right to demand the medical records of somebody running for the political office. If I go for my physical right now, just like you go in the military, you go for your physical, whatever, my physical right now. If they say I'm fit, I'm fit. You don't need nothing else. Ain't nobody lying. It's not the movies where you're going to have the president down in a bunker somewhere and somebody putting on a rubber face, acting like they the president. Come on. Get over it.
But the truth of the matter is are you going to elect someone to run this country who is going to die in 5 months? I mean, you know,
yes,
or next year, or you know,
Donald Trump. Heck yeah!
If Donald Trump is running against
him, you better believe it. That's why you have a vice president. President Kane. Thank you very much. There you go.
Right, because remember they were saying that about Donna Kane.
And how
remember?
Do we know she's gonna? How do we know that she or anybody else? Nobody knows the day or the hour, Deacon. Come on now.
Exactly for anybody.
But part of a job is. I mean, even in my job description, it says able to traverse the campus and da 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 da. Basically, they're saying you got to be healthy enough to do this job. So that as a prerequisite for president, I'm all with it. Bear all.
Right,
yeah,
that's
but
fine.
Said, but, okay.
Go ahead.
I do think you do need to be healthy enough to do the job. However, that does not mean that you need to release your medical records to me. If you want to release your medical records and you do it in a confident manner and a team of, whatever, who gets to review the medical records of the candidates, then fine. But don't tell me that if I'm running for the president of the United States that y'all got to see every infection I've ever had and this, that, and this, that, and what my blood pressure was. And, maybe I'll give you my blood pressure, but I'm not giving you my whole medical record.
Out of the question.
Don't nobody need to know what surgery I had or didn't have at all. No, I don't think it's right. Because it has nothing to do with the state of my health right now. You want to do a physical, you want to check me out, you want to do a cardiac assessment, you want to do some brain scans, this, that, and the other, make sure I don't have this, that, blah, 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 fine. But no, you don't get access to my medical history since
God knows when. I think it's too much.
All right. Well, I think Kathleen just said it for all of us. You're done. That's too much.
It's too much.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I guess low key though, but I'm just gonna say I agree.
Not me.
That's too much information.
I'm gonna be out front. I'm gonna be out front in front of the teleprompter with a big old sign. Give it. I want it all.
No.
Absolutely
not.
Show me the money.
And I'm a woman too, right? And she's a woman, so you know if we're gonna open this playing field. You need to know that we are not. I'm not giving you my gynecological records. Heck, no. So there's a difference. I think there's a distinct difference between.
But I'm sure there are.
Between men and
I'm
women
sure there's
and what should be demanded. It's just too much. It's too daggone much. I don't agree. I think it's not a cool thing. But I also don't think that you can't go find some long-haired, weird-looking doctor to write you a paragraph that sounds like you dictated it.
Okay.
And release that and say that there's a my medical record.
Now, there you,
and
there
many
you have
politicians
it, because,
have done that.
Right. So they're forging doctor's notes all over the place anyway. So I wouldn't put no stock in it. You're right about that. All right. We're going to – Loki, you
well,
have
I mean,
have
you
any
know,
last – go ahead. Go ahead.
A simple comparison. I don't know if you guys ever watch Empire. Is that what it's called, Empire or Empire, whatever?
Mm-hmm.
With the –
Is that what it's
you know,
called?
With
Lord
Terrence
Taraji.
Howard. Terrence Howard. First
notice
season,
I said Taraji.
When he was going to take over the – remember he was going to take over the company, right? And
mm-hmm.
the shareholders wanted to know if he was healthy, and he had the girlfriend's father lie about his health.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And he said nobody wants a leader who has a medical issue or is dying. You know.
Right.
And so he had him fake all the you know had him lie about the information. It's just that thing. It's you know it's like no, we don't want
yeah,
that person.
But she's released more medical record information than Donald Trump has. We don't know jack about him. And
yeah,
for
I'm
him
not
to go on
that.
Dr.
I'm
Oz.
I'm not debating any of that.
Yeah, but for him to go on Dr. Oz, like, that's crazy. Right? And then he went on there and apparently said that, oh, he decided not to give his full medical records. You won't even get to the TV doctor? Come on, man. Right? He's not going to blow you out on TV. But the point is
right.
well taken
well,
that
you
yes
know,
you do have to be fit to run for office. Like you need to be healthy enough, but you don't need to expose your medical records. I don't believe that.
But see, there's the issue with running for any kind of office. There are so many stipulations based upon that office. The higher you go, the more stipulations, the more requirements, the more exposure.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
when you get to a point where I mean, like I said, for me, I'm not, you know, I'm dead serious. I would love to be in politics, and I probably should have been in it years ago. But there's just some things I don't want you digging into.
Don't
want
to
answer. That's my past. It's my past, and it should stay my past.
Right. But even John McCain, when he ran,
so
I mean,
So stay up Deacon Edwards.
Yeah. he gave them 20 years of medical records.
Right.
So it's not
right.
that this that
right.
John McCain did, yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't make
yeah.
them public, but they actually did give up. He did give up 20 years of medical records, and they really kind of redacted, you know, a lot of it, but they came back to saying,
but
you know,
he had
cancer.
Didn't he only
give
them 2 hours to look it over? Didn't he only give them
oh,
two
I don't
hours
know.
To look it over? Yeah, he
oh,
gave them
I
all those medical records, but they only had about 15 minutes to go through all of them.
well,
mm-hmm.
as long as
mm-hmm.
it came back, like they did see where he had cancer and he had surgery and then he had, you know, melanoma and then he had something else. And they knew about all of these surgeries and what was going on with him. And honestly, if you're well enough to be president, you have the best medical staff in the world after that. So technically, there
right.
are a lot of people who had medical procedures, you know, Reagan and I think Lyndon Johnson and all these other people, when they got in office, had some medical things going on. So technically, you know, again, it's why you have a running mate. And, again, that's why I would never vote for
right.
John McCain. Not just because I don't like him, but his vice president
so,
we would never want to see Sarah Palin there. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah, I'm
hey,
just saying. Like, that's
that
why you pick
right.
your vice presidents carefully.
You got that right.
Right. Was it Truman that was in the wheelchair? Wasn't it Truman?
No, that was
who was in the wheelchair?
Roosevelt. Theodore.
Roosevelt. So
yes.
You know, and his whole thing with never being seen on television in his wheelchair and until after he was president. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
he
ran basically off the last name. He ran off the last
yeah.
name, Roosevelt. I mean.
And he was there 13.
So that
well, 13 or 14 years?
Right. Yeah.
And
you know,
that's the reason.
Somebody, you know, he, once you see him.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say that's when they actually covered for president's health back then because they just didn't want
right.
him to be seen as weak.
Right.
So they would stand him up. And then they made the car, would interview him from the car and all of this other stuff. And they would drive into, what was it, the Waldorf Astoria. There's a train
yeah.
state stop up under it, and they used an elevator and got him there by train.
To
and
bring
then
him up.
Put the car
yeah.
up on that elevator, and he went out in the car. Oh, that'll never happen again
mm-hmm.
there. And shoot, Obama can't golf. He can't get no Cheetos. He can't do jack with somebody up there.
Right?
He's like, is that the bunion?
Hey,
the president?
I got one question. I got one question for you. Okay. Okay. So, you know, we had Clinton, then we had Bush, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it interesting under the black president, everything he does or passes has
mm-hmm.
his name attached to it? You have Obamacare. And then you have the Obama
mm-hmm.
phone, right?
Yeah, but that
why,
was the Bush phone.
Why we didn't
phone.
Have any Clinton phone? All right, it was initially the Bush phone, but they don't. Nobody relates to it as the Bush phone. So today I heard a conversation, right? I'm standing mm-hmm. somewhere talking to someone, and I overhear a conversation between two younger white folks, you know, and they're talking about the fact that, yeah, and they got an Obama phone. I wouldn't even use it because it's an Obama phone. And who the hell? I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
Right.
How did we get there? How did we get there?
Yeah.
You know.
And I respect
remind,
that.
Remember now, I'm in a nice little country area, you know, so rural
mm-hmm.
area. So I'm listening to the two talk, and I had, you know, the person that I'm talking to is looking at me like, oh God, is he going to say something? Is he going to stop? Right,
God.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh God,
and finally,
yeah.
I stopped talking to the person today. Right. And I stopped, I turned, and I said, excuse me, did I hear you say that you wouldn't use that phone because it was an Obama phone? Is that in reference to him being a black president, or what is that? Well, I said, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put you on the
spot.
I'm sorry.
Go do what you do. Carry on.
Yes.
Carry
I'm just
on.
Curious.
Uh-uh.
So the person I'm talking to is like, Chris, I can't believe you did that. I just can't believe you. I said, Jay, I know you would have kept talking and it would have been an issue, but it was an issue for me.
Right.
You He's know.
Like, sorry you didn't get
and it.
It
just, right.
Yeah.
It just tells you where we're at.
Exactly. But, you know,
just what
wanted,
a
they,
deplorable.
Right. Did you know? Okay,
right.
Just like Hillary using deplorable. Do you know that internet searches, there were 50,000 internet searches for deplorable after she said that? Which means that Donald Trump people didn't know what deplorable meant. Thank you very much.
Well,
on that
obvious.
Note.
He put black people on
yeah.
the stage. He put black people
They were like, what is she saying? It was 50,000 internet searches for deplorable. That is nuts.
That's why.
All right.
That's why his handlers were going. His handlers were like, "Don't do it, Donald. No, don't put the black people on the stage. No."
Oh, dang. He did it anyway. All right. On that note, you have any you have any last comments, Kathleen?
No, I'm good. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Loki, you're up.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Deplorable.
All right, on that note,
there goes
I guess
my
we're out.
American.
And we'll bring in the African American. All right, thanks for tuning in. Listening to Stirring Up. We'll be back next week with Loki and his. What did we talk about, Loki?
We're talking about the
Negro
Black Panther Republican
Party.
And yeah, the Negro Republican Party. There you go. All right, see you guys next week.
All right.
All right.
Hey.
Hey. If you a baller, whore, if you broke his hell and ain't got a quarter, will not make a difference once you on that list. Remember Tuskegee, remember syphilis. Nowadays it's AIDS, sadly it's still us, but my fist